talked about.
You got to put it in the
The perfect party. It's an elusive idea. People have to be completely entertained from the moment they walk in to the moment they leave. It's a grand experiment. And I am a party scientist. Welcome to my laboratory.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Time for the details. If you'd like a pair of tickets to the USC-UCLA crosstown rivalry game, Saturday, November 26th, be callers 1 right now.
Oh, hold on a second. Hold on, seriously. All right, hold on. Let me try it again. All right, can I try it again? Do you mind? All right, one more time.
And now.
You've hit gold. Save some for the screen.
Our feature presentation.
Come on now. That didn't happen. That's all edited.
That was good work.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Monday morning.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
What's going on?
Well, I want to tell you boys that Bonerhead surgery.
Bonerhead surgery.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
Nope. He has a trick knee that they fixed. He's got little stitches all the way up one his back leg.
It's not a leg as much as it is a twig.
It is a twig.
Seriously.
It was microscopic surgery because his legs are so skinny.
One stitch should have done it, right?
Should have. And the thing that I've learned about dogs that are in pain is they don't care where they pee. They just get up and they go because, you know, they
Anywhere else is too far to go.
Yeah, exactly.
They barely care when they're not hurt.
Yeah, exactly. So this, oh my God. And the pain medication that I got for him, their little syringes, I had to sign off for it. And I had to, no, that it's liquid that goes in his mouth.
Right.
I don't have to give him shots.
Oh,
but they pre-measure it. They won't give it to you until you sign for it. And they get your driver's license number because it's a controlled substance.
Awesome.
And
I hope
was
you're bringing
like,
something to share.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I wasn't at all interested until they put me through that whole thing. And now I'm thinking, he probably doesn't need that last syringe.
You might as well try some
Mama might need a little.
Sure. It's awesome.
How much do you really hurt, doggy?
Seriously.
That's crazy. Well,
what's it doing? Just sitting around.
Exactly. It's just sleeping.
That's weird. It's no good when your boner's broken. I do know that.
I know.
Let's that is actually
hope that
true.
Boner heals soon.
I do, too. You need your boner. You need a healthy boner in your life.
I need my boner, especially for the holidays.
Exactly. For folks who haven't listened much, Boner is Lisa's dog. I don't want anyone to misunderstand, although...
Of course.
It'd be okay if you did.
Yeah.
Hey, here's an awesome story out of Georgia, the one in the U.S. A man is suing his employer. He works for a plastics factory in northern Georgia in a town called Dalton. And they do a deal there. You know how you see in the movies sometimes they'll put up a sign that'll give the countdown to how many days since the last injury?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Right? And the point is to make sure that everybody is aware of it and concentrating on it, make sure everybody's super careful so nobody gets hurt. Because you can die in industrial plants. This is a plastics factory. This is a big deal. Well, in this particular plant, you wear a sticker on your clothes every day. They give you a sticker and you put it on.
That's a lot of work. Somebody has to arrange
it. It does seem like.
A sticker every day?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, he has been fired because when it got to 666 accident-free days, he refused to wear the sticker. He went to his boss and he said, hey, I'm a Christian and I am not going to accept the mark of the beast and be condemned to hell, you know, because of the book of Revelations with the apocalypse and everything. One interpretation is 666. Other people say that that's not even a thing. But anyway, he got fired from it and is now suing the company. His manager told him his beliefs were ridiculous and he should wear the sticker or serve a 3-day suspension. He was suspended, and then he was fired at a human resources meeting several days later. So he has filed a complaint with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and they are suing the company. I don't know for how
bizarre.
Much or whatever. But.
I would imagine if that's his religious belief, he's going to win. Why didn't he just turn it upside down?
I don't know.
Not accurate.
999. So much
easier. I don't
know.
I mean, on the one hand, it does seem like it wouldn't have been a big deal for the guy to wear a sticker for one day. But
right.
On the other hand, I can also see, sort of, that an employer doesn't want people just making stuff up that they don't want to do because they don't like it. You know what I mean? I mean, there is something to be said for, hey, these are the rules and everybody follows them rather than...
But both sides are stupid. I mean, let's be honest. You're going to fire
like
a guy...
Seems like there should have been a way to settle this without somebody getting fired or
sued.
You're
going to fire a guy because he won't wear a sticker?
Yeah.
Really? That's the line you're drawing in the sand? And for the other guy, really? 666 on a little sticker? meaning the 666th day is the mark of the beast and you're going to hell? What the, put it on. Shut up.
It does seem like both of them were a little bit too rigid in their beliefs, I guess. He's been working there since 2007 and apparently has had a good work record since. Huh. But I don't know how this one's going to work out. But he believed he would be abandoning his religious beliefs if he put that sticker on. Wow. So what does he do? I mean, is it literally that it would be worn on his body? I mean, if he goes to Taco Bell tonight and it turns out to be 666 on the register, does he not pay it?
I don't want the food and run.
You know, if he got a license plate with it on it or bought a lottery ticket with it on it, I mean, does he just freak out at the number everywhere? Or is it just physically if it's worn on his body? I don't know. But you can see how if people go crazy over a number like that, I guess there are a lot of different ways it could manifest itself.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, they could just get over it.
Yeah.
It seems like, the guy could just go, hey, could I just wear it, so in place where everyone can't see it? Or it wouldn't kill the company for me not to wear it today. That's true.
And the thing is, he's not making it out of whole cloth. I mean, it is a thing.
It is a thing. So is 13.
Yeah.
You know, so who knows. But.
They're all stupid.
That's what we've come to. Learned. Let's talk about this morning's Kevin DeBean Show, shall we?
Now, you're not getting any younger.
Mugs. Beer mug.
Mm-hmm.
Beer mug interviews Matt Kemp.
Yeah!
Of the Dodgers.
Oh, did you do that on Friday?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now, it's always funny when
Is it interesting?
Well, actually, I haven't heard it yet.
Oh, all right.
It's always funny when we send him out because, you know, he is beer mug and he delivers pretty regularly.
Yes.
And not necessarily in the way you want him to deliver. So now he's going to Dodger Stadium and he's going to be interviewing a player representing the station.
Mm.
Now all of a sudden the player is going to think one thing or another about the station based on the guy behind me that's wearing the coonskin hat.
Not only a player, Kevin. Matt Kemp.
Right. I know. One of the big names. I got it. Take it easy. How do you think it
went? I've heard the interview.
Hold on, Bean. How do you think it went?
Considering the fact that I was extremely nervous.
Right, because he's a huge Dodger fan.
But he actually has information because he likes baseball, which is unlike most of his interviews.
Well, we'll find out from Bean in a second.
Okay.
Actually, we'll find out next hour.
I think it went well.
Okay, all right.
Oh, no, now I'm worried.
See, here's the problem with Muggs is he would say that no matter what. It could have just been a disaster. He could have been thrown out of Dodger Stadium, and he'd go, yeah, I think that went pretty well.
Wow, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah. We also have Andrew Siciliano on the program today talking about the NFL weekend.
Yeah.
We have Brad Williams, funny man,
Brad Williams. He's so cute.
Everybody
maybe he can be your dog while Boner's down.
There you go.
Everybody should get one. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to announce Miss Double December Top 10.
Woo!
We're going to open up the voting so you can start to pick Miss Double December 2012. Hard to imagine.
But it is.
It's starting now. We have a final 10. We're going to put it up online, give you a chance to vote. And we have tickets for you to go to the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. So that's going to happen today as...
Callers one.
We're going to make it a little more clear than that. Not much more, but a little. That's coming up. We will do the showbiz beat when we get back. 106.7 K-Rock. This KROQ. Sorry, everybody. It's 10 minutes till 6.
This is a very professional sounding show today, I gotta say. Hey, Ralph Garman, how was your weekend, man?
Spectacular!
Sorry to disappoint you, B.
No, I'm glad it was. I anticipated you would say more beyond that. Big Eagles win last night. I know that was a nice capper.
That was a nice surprise.
What a horrible first half that was.
It wasn't if you like defensive football.
Well, there was certainly plenty of defense.
That's true. I've always been a fan of much defense. I know most people who casually watch the game like to see the big scoring plays and that kind of stuff, but I, having grown up a fan in the NFC East, which has always been traditionally just a smash-mouth, punchy-in-the-face defensive division, it's good to see that kind of play coming back. And I thought defensive lines did a good job last night.
They certainly did.
Which meant a lot of punts, unfortunately, for people who like offense, but I thought it was pretty strong.
Do you have a Vince Young jersey? If not, it seems like he may need one now.
Vince only got the one-year deal, so I did not invest in the Vince Young jersey. I am still trying to offload my Cobb jersey to anyone who would like that. That was a bad purchase.
I'll take... Oh.
Yeah. he's not playing for you guys now either.
Yeah,
you got
no.
Red Skelton there who got benched yesterday.
Oh, he was terrible.
Yeah.
Worst quarterback in the NFL.
He looked like Steve Young against us, and then he puts up that egg yesterday.
I was watching the Arizona Cardinals, and the announcers actually said, that might be the worst pass I've ever seen in the NFL.
And that's a league that's got Tebow in it.
Yeah.
So,
got that going for
I'll tell you, Vince Young, not a great quarterback, but seems to be like a gamer, like one of those guys who
right.
just really wants to win, who his team rallies around because he's a leader, you know? But he throws the football, looks like a shot put.
Yeah.
Guys are running down the field waiting for that ball to come down when he throws those rainbows.
Like a punt?
Yeah, like, all right.
Fair, well, you can't call a fair catch on a pass.
Yeah, so it was a nice surprise. But great weekend. We had a big, big weekend up at the Lovitz, too. Kevin Smith and I had our longest Hollywood Babylon ever recorded. We went over 2 hours Saturday night.
Wow.
We just could not shut the F up. And we did two shows on Saturday, and we had a blast. So all in all, it was a good weekend. I could have done without the torrential downpour of rain. That dampened my Sunday, but...
What are you
going to
do?
Into each life, a little rain must fall.
But we needed it, so that's good.
That's what I heard. I heard we need the rain. It's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. No surprise here. Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1 fulfilled its economic promise and made just a hair under $140 million this weekend.
Only that?
Lisa?
They were predicting between 130 and 150, and looks like they got it right. 140 right in the middle. I'm sure you did.
How was it?
You know, in the world of Twilight movies, pretty good.
Uh-huh.
How about the world of regular movies?
A rarefied world, of course.
Yeah.
In the regular world, not that good.
Yeah.
I was a singing
dog.
But
I wasn't expecting that much.
Singing dog?
I think he's getting better.
Nope.
I do.
And I'm a vampire, and I'm in love with this unattractive girl. I'm a werewolf, and I am also in love with this unattractive girl. Boy, she sure can act, though, can't she? Nope. The end.
There you go. That was the whole movie.
I gotta say, they have a very moody honeymoon.
I'm surprised.
The moodiest.
Not a lot of laughs, not a lot of
not so much.
Scuba diving in Aruba or anything, swinging in a hammock, singing songs.
They did go to Brazil.
Oh,
that's nice. That was nice.
Yeah.
And then
did the vampire boy sparkle there too?
No, he doesn't sparkle anymore.
What?
Yeah.
What? How come? Why doesn't he sparkle?
He lost his sparkle?
They didn't like people laughing about it.
Because it was
sparkle.
Dumb.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something.
Well,
most of us lose our sparkle after we get married, so don't worry about it. F Twilight, really? Right. Okay. Everybody there? We still got one more, right? We got one more to put up?
Yes.
One more next November, yeah.
Happy Feet 2 did okay, all things considered. Considering everybody was going to movies, was going to see Twilight, did pretty well in its debut. $22 million, made it number two. Immortals was third, then Jack and Jill and Puss in Boots. Rounding out the top five, Tower Heist, $7 million. J. Edgar at number seven. Very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas was eighth. In Time was ninth. And then The Descendants, the new George Clooney film, in its debut, only in limited release, came in at number 10 with $1.2 million in box office money.
I did see that, too.
So,
The Descendants? Twilight.
Wow. Yeah,
it was excellent.
Taste out of your mouth?
Yeah, really good.
Breaking Dawn, by the way, strong enough this weekend to put it at number 5 on the all-time best opening weekends ever for a motion picture.
Wow.
It's behind Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, The Dark Knight, Spider-Man 3, and New Moon. So, a couple of them in the top 5 there. While we're talking about the Twilight crew, Taylor Lautner says, I'm sure freaked out by all the Twi moms. He says the mothers of the teen girls who are coming to see the film are more obsessed with the movie franchise than their daughters are. He says he gets tons of older women coming up to him, propositioning him and screeching and crying and gnashing of teeth about the plot lines.
But are they there with their kids when they're doing it? Because, like, elbowing their kids out of the way? I got some questions first. You take get an autograph later.
He says some of the mothers are more obsessed than the daughters are.
Yeah.
The movie has passed them by, but these mothers are still obsessed. So they're coming with or without their kids.
All right.
He said recently one woman came up to him and said, I'm wearing Team Taylor panties right now.
Whoa.
I can imagine if you're a daughter and your mom's a Twi mom.
Yeah.
It must be mortifying.
Yes.
It's got to be horrible.
Have your mother acting like a teenage girl around these people while you're...
Let's go to the midnight showing. Mom, I have school.
Stop it. I love the fact that people are starting this petition. Petition online. Asking E, rather, to get rid of the porn star Kim Kardashian's television program.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, it is at 160,000 people strong who have signed the petition.
Wow.
Yeah, the woman who started it. Maybe we should talk to her. Petition organizer Cindy Snyder says on the website, "Keeping up with the Kardashians is just not viewing that we, the public, would like to see from your network. Enough is enough."
Oh, that's tight.
"As our friends and neighbors struggle with real problems, we cannot continue to be distracted by moochers like Kim Kardashian." She adds. I don't know if she's a moocher.
Yeah, I don't.
But she's bad. So I support that wholeheartedly. And more details about this Natalie Wood death. Murder of the movie star Natalie Wood. It took place, not murder, but the death of Natalie Wood 30 years ago.
What's the rush to get this information out there?
Now it has been reopened due to some new information, according to the sheriff's department. And the ship's captain now is finally starting to give details about what he claims happened that night.
Didn't they do this 30 years ago when she
and
died?
He lied. He did not give them the full story.
Really?
He claims now. Here's the thing. If a guy who lied 30 years ago, how do you know he's telling the truth now, right?
That's weird. Like, why the sudden change of heart?
Natalie Wood was married to a TV star, Robert Wagner, who was on a show called Heart to Heart, famously. And he, the captain, said he overheard a chilling argument happen on the boat with Robert yelling at Natalie to get off my effing boat. And then minutes later, he announced that to the rest of the people on the boat was just the captain and Christopher Walken. There's only four of them on the boat. Said, "Oh, Natalie's missing." Only
what?
Four people on the boat. How do you lose Natalie?
Get off my boat.
Yeah. Then moments later, and he announced that she was missing.
And one theory is the fight got out of control and that Natalie Wood wanted to get in the little rowboat and get away from
the
dinghy.
Yacht,
right?
Yeah, right. The captain claimed we should call in the Coast Guard, we should search for her, and reportedly, according to this guy, Robert Wagner said, "No, I don't want to draw any unnecessary attention that could tarnish my image."
Uh-oh.
Really?
2 hours later, the captain convinced Robert to call for help, the Coast Guard was brought in, and Natalie was found floating in the water the next morning. So, still investigating what happened that
unless they can figure out how she got into the water. I mean, if she was pushed off, maybe that's one thing. But if she tried to get away and drown, it doesn't seem like anybody can be charged with that.
That had been the theory for many years. She tried to get in the boat. She slipped. She fell. She hit her head and then landed in the water. That's what... accidental death. That's what the findings had been 30 years ago. Now, whether they have any more information regarding whether she was pushed or whether she was hit before she was in the water or whatever.
But the captain at the time didn't say that Robert Wagner invited her to get off the boat.
No.
Okay.
And lastly, do you know Frank Sinatra starred in a porno film?
No.
Yes.
Oh, that's tight.
Frank Sinatra, legendary singer, old Blue Eyes himself, when he was 19 years old, broken out of work, he did an adult film called The Masked Bandit.
How is that possible?
Did it
come out?
You know, Frank was legendarily well endowed.
I just didn't think they were really making many movies like that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. They were called stag reels back in the day. They'd come just as like one reel of film, and you'd show them on a projector at, you know, bachelor parties and things like that. I mean, it wasn't the industry it is now, but they certainly made porno movies back in the day. Apparently, he starred in it. He was paid $100 for his efforts. Which I guess in 1934 or whatever was pretty good.
That's a lot
coin. And then he spent the rest of his life, according to friends, making sure no one ever saw the film. He would buy up every copy they could find. He had people looking for it constantly so he could own it at all times. Sammy Davis Jr. reportedly had a copy that Frank forced him to destroy. And Peter Lawford, another friend of Frank's, showed the movie to friends, apparently on occasion, and
awesome.
Frank used to get very furious about that and eventually got that copy as well. So we may never see his work in The Masked Bandit.
I was hoping you brought this up because they've just discovered one.
No, sadly they don't have any copies. Today's celebrity birthday. Harold Ramis is 67 years old today. Actress Goldie Hawn turns 66. Brian Ritchie of the Violent Femmes, he's the bass player for that band, 51 years old. Nicolette Sheridan. From Desperate Housewives. She's 48. Singer Bjork.
Yeah,
Bjork celebrates her birthday.
She's so great.
Oh, she's a gift. She is a talent. She is one of the best singer songwriters we have working today. I mean, just listen to this.
Look at drum circle. What's happening? Is this a real song?
I hope that's some sort of ritual. They're about to throw her on a fire. Yeah. That's what the drums mean in the back. Yeah, Fjork. She's 46 years old today. Alex James of Blur turns 43. And actress Jenna Maloney celebrates her 27th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got a lot of shows still to come here on the Kevin and Bean program, including our friend Andrew Siciliano, 1 hour from right now, talking about the NFL over the weekend. We'll unveil your top 10 contenders for Miss Double D 2012. And we've got tickets for you for Acoustic Christmas coming up as well. And that I mentioned, Beer Mug interviews Dodger center fielder Matt Kemp. That's on the way in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
How come interview on the website is put in quotes?
Well, when you hear it, you'll understand why.
All right.
Beer Mug talked in the vicinity of where Matt Kemp was standing waiting to be asked questions. That's pretty much my read on this interview.
Yeah, and strangely wouldn't look. I don't know. It was bizarre, but we'll get to that in a second. First, this is the time of year you start seeing these stories. U.S. Consumer Group flags 10 most dangerous toys.
Oh, yeah.
It's always funny that they even put these things, that these toys, that there's nobody at these companies that goes, hey, the Power Rangers Samurai Mega Blade? Maybe that's not a good idea, you know? Like, isn't there somebody at the company that's making these that goes, let's not do that?
I agree with you 100%. Every year this list comes out, you look at it, you go, how is it possible that they're still making, like, bow and arrows that can put a kid's eye out, and they're selling that for kids like they tried to again this year? But there is a watchdog group, fortunately, and they're very smart because they say, look, we like to call attention to these things before they're even in the store so that parents know not to buy them. The group is called Watch, and it is the World Against Toys Causing Harm. And I believe we have the VP of that company on the phone with us right now. Mr. Arnold Klein joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. Klein. Thank you for being on with us, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Dane. How are you?
We're good.
We're fine.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, don't you know?
To you
well, as well. You as well. So Watch is a very worthwhile organization. We're eager to speak with you each year.
Yes, thank you. We do our best to try to keep kids safe because toys really should be fun. They shouldn't be dangerous. Nobody wants a dead kid on Christmas morning.
That's correct.
That's our motto.
That's one thing we can all agree on.
Yes.
Some of the items on this list, though, like the Fold and Go trampoline, what's a trampoline? Trampolines have been around for 50 years in America. Kids love those.
Yes, but they shouldn't fold.
They shouldn't fold.
Especially when you're jumping on them. That's bad.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
You want your trampoline to stay open.
Sure.
So the Fold and Go, it folds and then you go to heaven.
I see. I see. Okay. And we've established nobody wants that.
No.
All right.
The Z-curve bow, also on the list, bow and arrows. Come on. Bows and arrows.
Right. Yeah.
It's a weapon, right, is basically what it is.
Super steppers, low-rise stilts. You're asking for death right there.
You really are. It's funny that your group really does exist and really you have so many different things to pick from each year because it doesn't seem like anyone's paying attention.
And we just released the 10 most dangerous toys. There's plenty on the list this year that didn't make the top 10.
Oh, is that right?
Like the Little Circus Lion Tamer set. It sounds fine until you realize you get it home and it comes with an actual lion.
Oh,
okay.
No.
That's dangerous.
I can't tell you how many of our testers we lost working on that one.
Why did you lose more than one? Couldn't you at one?
We thought maybe we had a bad lion, but no, it turns out they're all very aggressive.
I see.
Okay. From Whammo this year, pitcher knife. It's just
a knife
you throw back and forth between you and your friends.
Pitch a knife. That seems bad.
Yeah, it's hard to catch a knife.
Yeah.
They tend to stick in you.
Yeah.
That no one likes.
That's right.
You think a company like Whammo would know better. Like, the Nerf people, you think they would know better.
Then?
Sure. Their new product this year, Nitro Nerf. It's a gun that shoots Nerf balls that's actually soaked in nitroglycerin.
What?
You try to hit one of your friends wearing a flame vest, they call it, which is just, it's just a down vest you set on fire. Celebrities, of course, every year the kids want the stuff the celebrities have.
Sure.
This year we don't recommend Natalie Wood's My Little Yacht.
Okay, see, now that's just inappropriate.
They tried this toy 30 years ago, and now it's back again.
That's true.
Stay away from the Michael Jackson Propofol playset.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Definitely.
Not a good idea.
Oh, no.
You want to stay away from the new Sammy Sports kickball set. Doesn't sound dangerous until the directions. You read the directions, it says, kick your friends in the ball.
Oh, no.
No one likes that.
Nope.
You know what? Junior proctologist, my first colonoscopy set, which is a tiny video camera stuck the end of a garden hose.
Nope.
And least of all, but certainly last, you don't want to play with the Super Skyfall roof parachute. just not enough space between the roof and the ground, it turns out.
Can't really get a chute open in that amount of space.
No, but you can get a compound fracture.
That's correct.
Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then your Miss Double D 2012. We're going to talk about those contestants just after the top of the hour, and of course, post them at KROQ.com. Because you'll need to start voting. You know, you'll want to definitely get on in there and vote early and vote often.
Yeah, do plenty of research, we always like to say, because
absolutely.
An uninformed voter is not a good voter. That's our slogan.
Is that our slogan?
Yeah, we should work on that, maybe.
Let's talk about our man, Beer Mug, who is, I think among those of us working on the show, probably the biggest Dodgers fan, I would think.
Yeah, I love him.
You and Dave are probably pretty much neck and neck of loving the blue, but you had a very, very cool experience on Friday when you got to go down to Dodger Stadium to interview Matt Kemp. He was having what, a press conference talking about his new contract with the team?
Yes, he had a press conference about 11 a.m. on Friday after the show. I went down to Dodger Stadium, had the press conference, and then I waited in line to interview a god, and it was, I was nervous. I was way nervous.
Yeah. Here's the funny thing. On Friday before he went, he said this, in all honesty, he said to Bean and I, so if I do a good interview, then you guys don't want that?
And then I think Lisa's the one who piped up and said, I don't think we're worried about a good interview. Matt Kemp, for folks who don't follow baseball, is a superstar. I mean, he is in the running to win the Most Valuable Player Award this year. He just had one of those unbelievable years like every athlete, you know, wishes for as a little boy. I mean, he's just incredible and so nice, and everybody loves this kid. And he signed a $160 million deal. Which I think is, I know it's the largest in Dodgers history. It's got to be one of the largest in the National League ever. And he, you know, will probably be playing with the Dodgers. He's one of these guys who might be playing with the Dodgers for the rest of his career if it goes well, you know? So it's very, very exciting for Beer Mug. And he sits down with him. And we have video of this. Have we put this up at the website
yet?
Can you see this at KROQ.com?
Yeah, it's up there.
Muggs, you have the opportunity to interview Matt Kemp. Why won't you look at him?
You, like I said, try looking in the face of a god. I mean, this guy is my idol. I was so incredibly nervous. He was so incredibly nice. I didn't want to screw up, which I probably did, but I didn't.
No.
I didn't want to make myself look like a complete a-hole in front of this awesome talent.
It was odd, and I got to tell you, I've been in that exact same position where you respect the person so much, all you want to do is not blow it.
Yeah.
But don't you kind of blow it by being rude and not even looking at them?
Well, if he mic'd him, it would have helped, too. If he put the mic over by Matt Kemp's mouth, it would have helped as well. But if you were to bring in a body language expert, mm-hmm. and they were to watch that video, they would go, this guy has no interest in baseball. How about you? Like, you wouldn't look at Matt Kemp. Your whole body was turned away from him. It was just like you knew you shouldn't be there.
Yeah. Exactly.
Here's the beginning of Mugs with Matt Kemp.
All right, Matt, let me first start off by saying I'm not really known for my on-point interviewing skills.
Okay, now, I don't know if you heard it there or not, but Matt did laugh.
I barely heard it.
He was
barely.
He was unmiked, but he did laugh.
I'd be doing a huge disservice to Dodger fans everywhere if I took this opportunity and wasted it. It is an honor to be sitting next to you.
Hasn't looked at him yet.
I'm a longtime Dodger fan.
Or asked a question.
You're repping the city well.
There you go. Okay, you got a mic there. He got a mic right for the end of that sentence.
You're repping the city well.
Matt, you're the man.
He didn't hear a word he said, did he, Bede?
Nope.
You're repping
he did not.
The city well. You know, Muggs is wearing a Dodger jersey and a Dodger hat, and he says you're repping the city well, and he goes, Matt, you're the man. ask another question.
Congratulations on your 8-year contract extension. How's it feel to be the $160 million man?
It feels great, man. Great opportunity. I'm glad the Dodgers committed to me for this long, and hopefully for years to come, we'll have much success and a lot of World Series to win.
I think everybody would enjoy that in Los Angeles. For all the doubters.
Did you hear him say definitely?
Yep. Tried to.
Me either. Yeah. Put the microphone anywhere, just in the vicinity of him, the mic will pick it up.
And one would think, you know, an interviewer with one mic would have to go back and forth. When I get nervous, my brain shuts off.
Really? So,
So
far, you're not doing bad. You're not doing bad.
And the haters. Let me just read off a list for them.
It's for the haters now. He's reading for the haters. I'm sorry. I messed up that momentum. This is for all the haters. And now he's going to recap the year that was Matt Kemp's year.
This past season, you got the Hank Aaron Award, the Silver Slugger Award, Gold Glove. You were the National League home run champion.
He's reading all of this. He still hasn't looked at Matt.
The National League RBI champion. And 2011 All-Star, you were in the 30-30 club. That's all you could do, really?
I got one more, man. I got one more to win.
All right, by the way, not bad. That was a little attempt at humor.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was. It was fine. But so far, I feel like we've been listening to this interview for 2 minutes, and there's been about a minute 45 of Beer Mug and 15 seconds of Matt Kemp. Give me some Matt Kemp.
It's definitely a great season. There are going to be haters. But, you know, haters always motivate us, as people say. And, you know, if you don't have haters, you're not doing nothing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Here's what I like. Here's what I like about Muggs. Like, that was Muggs' point. You know what I mean? Like, Muggs wasn't saying there's always going to be haters, and if you don't have haters, you're not going to be, you know, you're not doing anything. Matt Kemp said it, and then Muggs is like, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm trying
what
to say.
What he said.
But you weren't trying to say that at all.
No.
Not even in the least. And by the way, there's two groups. There are people who accomplish things who have haters. And then there are people who deserve haters.
Right.
Not always the same group.
True.
You know, you look at Jersey Shore. Yeah, they're successful and all, but they really deserve haters. But a sports, you know, icon
right.
who's really playing well, his haters are real and he has to ignore them. Right. You, my friend, right. you, Muggs.
I deserve haters.
Correct.
Exactly.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's not your point at all. Whoops, sorry. Let me rewind. Whip!
Let me ask you.
Now, he's out. Uh-oh. He's out. He's
already out. Let me ask you is terrible.
He's already out. And let me tell you this, Mike. You're sitting down with a guy, and you've already asked him questions. You don't ever have to. You don't ever have to reset. Let me ask you.
Because it's been established that there's an interview in progress.
It has
right?
been established. You've already asked. Well, you've made statements, and you've allowed him to make a statement. So you don't have to ask. You don't have to say. Let me ask a question.
Okay.
And now I'm going to talk into the microphone, and I'm going to end with a question mark, and then you're going to respond to it like we're doing an interview.
This is where I normally go off track.
Good. Provide him that information. That's always helpful.
Because he cares.
He's stalling. That's why. He has no idea what he's going to say.
This is where I always go off track.
You had 161 games played this past season. Yeah. There was supposed to be a makeup game. Do you think that game could have gotten you the 40-40 club?
Definitely. Anything is possible. You know, it would have been four or five more at-bats to have a chance to be in the 40-40 club. But, you know, it is what it is. I was pretty happy with my season personally. A little disappointed about, you know, the way the season ended and not making the playoffs. But next year we're definitely going to, you know, give it a go and be successful.
All right, let me stop you right there. Now, I applaud Muggs for knowing the topic that he's discussing because Matt Kemp had 39 home runs, and Muggs knows that if he had one more game to play, he might have hit another home run.
The 30-30 and the 40-40 is home runs and RBIs?
Exactly.
And stolen bases.
Stolen bases, right.
Yeah. Well, which is
home runs and stolen bases combined, yeah.
So he was 39 home runs, 40 stolen bases.
Wow.
So if he'd have had one more day, he very easily, possibly, could have had another home run and been in the 40-40, which is a little bit more prestigious, right? But it's kind of a stupid question to say, if you would have been able to have more at-bats, is there a possibility you could have hit more home runs?
Of course.
Again, I applaud that you know the game, but it is kind of a retarded question when you think about it. Because the answer is fairly obvious. Yeah,
sure.
The more at-bats you have, the more chance you have to hit home
he
runs.
He should have said, probably not. Probably not, no.
And it's known that you grew up playing basketball. Aren't you glad you didn't play basketball?
I'm definitely glad. I'm glad I listened to my dad and went and played baseball, because if it wasn't for him staying on me and keep pressing baseball, I wouldn't probably be here right now.
Now, it was that a joke based on the NBA's not playing?
An attempt at a joke, yeah.
There
weren't enough
you're
words.
You're doing so well in baseball,
right.
You just got this big deal, or was it the NBA is out this year?
The NBA is out this year, because in the press conference, he's like...
I get that.
Yeah, I know.
I
couldn't figure out
what I realized when I said that, when I asked that question, I did not make it clear what I was trying to say, because he said he wanted to be in the NBA when he was younger.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was interesting enough to me, because I didn't know he played basketball as a kid and chose baseball, and it did work out well for him. I thought that's all you were talking about, but wow, that was an attempt at a joke.
One final question. My boss, Bean, from the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. Now, let me just butt in here and say, first of all, you don't have to ask. Let me ask you a question. And if you're going to say one final question, it better be your final question. All right. Now, here's where he asks Bean's question.
Wanted me to ask you a kind of off-topic question. The great Tommy Lasorda, when he finally goes to the big Dodger in the sky, he wanted to be buried underneath home plate. Do you think that's creepy?
I think you smacking your lips is creepy, A. And B, here's a guy that just signed a $160 million deal to play for the Dodgers, and you're asking him a question about Tommy Lasorda dying. I don't care if Bean gave you that question. That's a horrible question. So then he responds to it.
Oh, man. That's... I don't know if I'd be digging in. I don't know if I'd be, like stomping on his face. That would, I wouldn't want to do that to my – that's my man right there. I wouldn't want to do that. Hopefully we don't have to – we won't have to do that anytime soon. That's my man. He's a great part of this organization and somebody that the Dodgers love.
I love Tommy. Yeah, that'd be disrespectful, Bean.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Turn it on Bean there.
But when I asked that question, one of the Dodgers security guys looked at me, and he just rolled his eyes like, what the hell is this guy doing up here interviewing this guy?
Well, of course. Of course. I mean, that's the kind of question you ask if you have a rapport with somebody that maybe you've looked at.
Yeah.
Maybe you've made eye contact.
Nope.
You're joking around back and forth.
No rapport.
You force that right in, which I love.
Have me ask those questions. And then finally.
Wait, hold on a second. Yeah. The last one was finally.
This is the real last question.
How many finallys do you get?
And then finally, next year, hopefully, we can get a World Series championship. Yeah. With you in center field and at the bat, anything's possible. Yeah. What are you going to do in your off season to kind of prepare?
Get ready for it. Eat good food and train as hard as I can to be even stronger than I was this past year.
All right. Not bad. Not bad, but...
No, I think partly to Matt Kemp's great credit is he's an excellent interviewee. Yeah. I think that was fine.
Oh, listen,
I enjoyed that.
Listen, nobody knows more than I do that a person that rolls with a bad interview is so... You're so happy that they're not taking the time to point out you're bad. They just roll with it and they go. But so far, so good. Again, you can see this. It's a video at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. I was surprised by your one final question, though.
Let me ask you, how have you taken care of the... you know, the normal hygienic procedures.
Wait a minute. Why would you ask Matt Kemp that?
Why did ask him that?
Just go to the bathroom. I don't understand.
Your tickets to join us for your choice of nights for the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday. Now Ralph steps in. Time for the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Night three. I'm going to night three. Can't wait. Oh, that's the best one.
We don't have a night three.
Yeah. Okay. Look, just because you weren't invited, don't get all whiny.
Wasn't invited?
All the cool kids are going to night three.
That's for night three. If you win, that's for night three.
So we'll see. It's like ordering off the menu at In-N-Out. No, a lot of people don't know about it, but when you ask about it, boom.
You only get tickets if you know.
Magic time. Congratulations to Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1. In its debut weekend, it made $140
million. $140
million. If you're into that kind of thing. If you're into making money as opposed to art. Fine, man. Whatever. Take your big blockbuster weekend. Take it. Fine. Enjoy.
$140
million. It's pretty strong.
Yeah.
You know me. I'm not. I don't put a lot of merit in reviews.
Right.
But I am getting a certain evil glee out of reading the reviews for this film.
Oh, really?
What? Yeah, how come? Enjoyable.
Oh, because it's reviewed poorly?
Yeah, there's some very, very
it doesn't matter.
Clever bashing going on. It makes me laugh very hard. Saying, like, this movie is to movies what cotton candy is to real food. But in this case, the cotton candy is made of poison and spun glass.
Oh, my God.
Yes. People are having a good time teeing off on Twilight, even though it doesn't matter. $140 million. Happy Feet 2, in its debut, did $22 million. Immortals was third, then Jack and Jill and Puss in Boots. Tower Heist was sixth. J. Edgar. Harold and Kumar's Christmas Movie was eighth. In Time and The Descendants, the new George Clooney film, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Some casting news. Elizabeth Shue, one of my favorite actresses, who hasn't been working all that much until just lately. She, of course, picked up an Oscar nomination for Leaving Las Vegas back in the day, but she was in Piranha 3D last year as the sheriff.
Yes, she was.
And now she's got a regular gig. She'll be joining the cast of CSI, the original, the one in Vegas, taken over as Marg Helgenberger's replacement. Marg's leaving the show, and so Elizabeth Shue will be coming on.
All right.
I'm looking forward to that. She's real good.
How's Ted Danson doing on CSI?
Doing great. I've caught a couple episodes, and he's spectacular on the show. And
solving cases?
Looks like they haven't missed a beat.
Wow. Impressive.
You ready for the $6 Million Man movie?
No.
Yes.
Really kind of not.
The Return of the Bionic Man. Hello.
I don't know. It's been long enough. It's done well.
I think this is one of those concepts that is perfect for a remake, because it doesn't really rely so much upon the personality of the star who made the original. There are some projects that, if it hadn't been that actor in that particular time on that particular show, it wouldn't have worked.
Right.
And so those things are hard to replicate. That kind of chemistry is hard to replicate. This is a concept that is broad enough, I think. A high concept that is strong enough that it would really pull off in an updated version.
And with new technology and new CGI and all
that
stuff.
Yeah, for those of you who don't remember the story, it was a big, big hit in the 70s about a guy, a Air Force colonel, who's almost killed in a horrible accident where he's a test pilot. He's flying a plane and it crashes, and he is practically killed, loses both legs and an arm and his eye, and they have the technology to rebuild him as a cyborg using robotic parts to supplement what he's missing, and he becomes a secret agent. So now, like Kevin was saying, in today's day and age with the new technology and stuff like that, I think it would be an interesting concept to see an updated version.
Since that show was on in the 70s, haven't a lot of those sorts of things actually come to pass in terms of replacing people's eyes and hands and things like that?
They've got bionic hands now that you can just move with your brain. It's just like a regular hand that you can grab stuff with it and touch stuff.
It costs a lot more than $6 million, though, to do that.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah, they have to update it. I think that's the point. The $6 Billion Man, I believe, is the title for the new updated version. Now, several sites are saying Bryan Singer is going to be taking it on, which makes me sad because he's usually sour and dark.
Yeah.
And I think this movie should be more fun, more action-packed, you know?
Right.
Remember emo Superman? Superman back, was all mopey, like, I lost my girlfriend, I love you, I'm watching you from above your house, I'm creepy Superman. It's like being a Superman. Lois, what are you doing? Hey, what are you doing in that house?
How dare you?
So, I'm not too sold on that, but they're talking about maybe Leonardo DiCaprio as Steve Austin, the $6 billion man.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, that'd be a way to make a highbrow version of a pretty high-concept film.
Hmm.
Anyway, we'll see what happens, but I was excited by that news. And sadly, in remake news, Michael Cera will not be playing Gilligan in a remake of Gilligan's Island. There had been some talk of doing a big-budget comedy version of that film, but Michael Cera has passed on the role of Gilligan, apparently.
He would be an excellent Gilligan,
He would be.
I think that's a good choice.
The producer, creator Sherwood Schwartz, before he passed away, said if they make a Gilligan's Island movie, Michael Cera is the guy I'd like to see it play.
How about that?
But he has officially passed on the role, so we may have to wait a while until we see that project. Sad.
Did you see Ron Howard tweeting this weekend about Arrested Development being in production now?
Yes.
Talking about how he's got to warm up his vocal cords for his voiceovers now?
Here's the tricky news about Arrested Development, though. It is coming back to television. However, it will not be on Fox or any other broadcast network, for that matter. It is going directly to Netflix.
What?
The final season will be aired exclusively on Netflix sometime beginning early 2013.
That's strange.
It is strange, but it's a good deal for Netflix, which lost about 1 million subscribers in its ill-fated upgrade attempt earlier this fall. So the only way you'll be able to see Arrested Development is the video streaming service in 2013. So if you want to catch up on the series before they go to the big screen version, you're going to have to use Netflix.
They're going to create a tremendous amount of goodwill from being the people who give us Arrested Development again.
I agree.
In 2 years.
Right.
Well, not everything can happen right away, Kev.
I need it to.
Come on, man.
I have a very
patience is a virtue.
I have a very short attention span.
Kevin, I think there's an Arrested Development marathon on Thanksgiving on IFC, though.
Seen the whole series 5-6 times.
We'll watch it again. Right. Watch it again.
Will do.
Well, speaking of television, real quick update. If you missed it last night, I don't recommend PBS very often because Kevin's eyes glaze over and then usually passes out. But PBS has a wonderful series called American Masters, which if you're into music or arts or acting or film or stage or anything like that, it's a great series. Last night they premiered part one of their documentary about Woody Allen, legendary filmmaker Woody Allen.
Oh, yeah.
Great documentary. Woody Allen is notoriously press shy, but he gave them complete cooperation on this film. So he is in the movie and he does the interviews and talks about his life. It's fascinating. I mean, we all know the Woody Allen movies and he's been making movies forever, but his story is remarkable.
No.
So you should watch it.
No.
You can catch the reruns of the first episode this week, and then I think next Sunday night or Monday night they're going to air part two, so you can check that out.
No.
Come on, Kevin. Woody Allen started writing jokes in high school when he was 16 years old, and from the time he wrote his first joke, was never unemployed in show business for the remainder of his life.
He's never had another job.
Nope. And never been out of work as a writer or a performer.
And you know what's crazy about this Woody Allen, Kevin, if you're still with us? His Midnight in Paris movie this year, biggest box office movie he's ever done.
Yeah.
He's still doing great work at what is he, 75 now or something?
Something, yeah, early 70s.
Kevin? Are we talking about him in real time?
Kevin, hello? Are you here?
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor-director Harold Ramis is 67 years old today. Actress Goldie Hawn turned 66. Probably better known as the mom of Kate Hudson now than she is in her own right.
Yeah.
Brian Ritchie, bassist for Violent Femmes, is 51. Nicolette Sheridan turns 48. Alex James, of Blur is 43. Jenna Maloney from Saved and Life is a House and other feature films is 27. And singer Bjork celebrates her 46th birthday. No, indeed. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Andrew Siciliano talks NFL coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and your chance at tickets for the 22nd annual Almost Goes to Christmas later in the hour as well. Hey, hit it, Steve. How about it's the most wonderful time of the year? How about it's time to unveil your contestants for Miss Double December 2012, kids? Sing it a bit.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December.
Nice melons.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
Nice melons.
She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
So you're telling me that December 2nd, we're going to be live on stage down at the Slide Bar in Fullerton once again this year to crown a new Miss Double December, this time to represent the Kevin and Bean Show for all of 2012, to come to our breakfast with us, to Acoustic Christmas, to the Weenie Roast, to the singles parties, to Vegas with us, whatever we happen to be doing next year. And this is the beginning of the process, guys, where we start to see for the first time one of the ladies who's going to wear the crown.
Yes. We took all of the contestants, picked the top 10, put them up for you today at krock.com, kevinandbean.com. You can go there and you can start voting today for who you want to be Miss Double December. I think we got a great crop this year.
Yeah,
a crop?
We sure
are
do.
They a crop of women?
Yeah, it's a crop. Okay. That's a scientific term.
Okay, good.
Where do they grow this kind of crop is what I want to know. Ralph, why don't you walk us through some of the contestants that we're going to be meeting in the weeks in the next week or so here on the air.
We asked all the girls to send in photos of themselves, of course, and then fill out the questionnaire, I guess you'd call it, in order to qualify as a potential top 10 finalist for Miss Double December. First off is Andy. She is a hairstylist from Bellflower. And we asked her, if you wrote your autobiography, what would the title be? And she says, "Thank God I'm Pretty."
Uh-oh.
All right.
Does she mean like she doesn't have much else to offer, so at least she's got that going for her?
Well, that's what we hope to find out. When we talk to him, we have him in, you find out if that's a joke and she's being funny.
I enjoyed enormously Andy's answer to, if you were a porn star, what would your made-up stage name be? Candy Kane would be her name. See? And that's holiday-themed as well sexy as hell.
She will be in the studio with us tomorrow. We can ask her all of these questions.
A little concerned on Andy's part, though, when we asked her to describe herself in 140 characters or less, like a tweet.
About half of them.
Did not fully comprehend a question, I guess. 140 characters meaning just 140 letters or less.
Describe yourself in 140 characters or less.
It's about a page and a half here, she wrote. She must have the extended tweet deck or something where she gets to put her answers. Next up is Angela. She's a bartender from West Hollywood. Oh, a bartender, a smoking hot bartender. You can't ask for better than that, really. Yeah. She, of course, is appealing for my own heart when she says if she wrote her autobiography, she would base it on a comic book series.
Yeah, that's a clear
The Adventures
sucker.
Of a Black-Haired Bombshell and Bat Dog would be her and her
Yeah, she's
chihuahua.
Got your vote.
Yeah, she said Dusty. Well, Joanna, she works in mortgage services from Huntington Beach, California. Very much looks like a beach girl. If you were a porn star, what would your made-up stage name be? Lala Cox, she says.
All right. I'm down with that.
Again, another girl who didn't really understand 140 characters.
Correct.
Question, which I thought was interesting.
I know we don't specify real or not, because it doesn't matter to most guys. But I think Joanna's look awfully real to me, Ralph.
Yeah, I believe they are as well, just from a distance. I mean, we'll have to investigate further as we get her in studio. Kyla is our next contestant. She is a student actress, and I like this part the best. Self-proclaimed vixen from Redlands, California. She interestingly, we asked all the girls if they had to perform in a talent show, which these girls will. Because that's part of the pageant, of course, every year. What would your talent be? Kyla's talent is, I can blow bubbles, eat a Tootsie Pop in 3 bites, and jump rope.
All right. Take
at the same time?
Yes, that sounds like she's a multitasker.
It's hard to blow bubbles when you got a Tootsie Pop in your mouth. You know what I'm saying?
It sounds super sexual, but no, I don't.
Next up is Lux. She is a marketing lead slash model from Moreno Valley. Lux says if she was a porn star, she would make up the stage name of Honeysuckle. Honeysuckle!
All right.
She actually got the 140 characters or less question. I'm half Filipina, half Irish bundle of fun, she writes. And she said, is amateur competitive eating a talent? If not, I guess I'll have to dance. So that's what she'll be doing for us in the talent portion.
Depends on what she's eating.
Megan describes herself as a stand-up, a kind of comedian, I guess, writer, and hoary dresser.
Okay. I like that. I like it.
States her hometown is Wichita, Kansas. She's going to be commuting a long way to the pageant on the 2nd.
I don't think
sure.
She still lives there.
Oh,
that's where she was from.
You were a porn star, what would your made-up stage name be? Kim Kardashian, she writes. Or Dad E. Issues. See, she's funny.
See, because?
Her talent, I can put my fist in my mouth and watch a lot of reality television.
At the same time?
At the same time.
All right.
She's also a hula hooper, so we're going to have to make sure she gets the hula hoop out. Michelle is a sales administrator from Hollywood. If she was asked if she could have one superpower, what would it be and why? She said telepathy, so I could know what others are thinking and planning and always be one step ahead. Oh, I could also find out if that hot guy I'm crushing on is into me. Trust me, he is, Michelle. No need for superpowers there. Look at you, for God's sake. Nellie, also in the lineup this year. She is a student model from Mission Hills, California. She can belly dance. That's her talent.
There are 140 characters or less. Is about a page and a half.
Yeah, once again, she missed out on the concept.
Like that.
Nikki, a go-go dancer, makeup artist from Ontario, California. Wow, that Nikki. She knows how to wear a little black dress.
How can she stand up? I'm looking at this photo.
Yeah, it's craziness. If you wrote your autobiography, what would the title be? Nikki Rockstar, Life of a Go-Go Dancer. Are there still go-go dancers? Where does one find go-go dancers?
I don't know.
We'll have to ask her.
You don't get it out of the go-go anymore.
I don't know.
So she can make her booty clap. That's her talent.
Okay. I mean, you know, if that's what she's into.
Is that a standing ovation, I'm guessing, if she can make her booty clap? You can't sit and make your booty clap.
That's correct.
And last but certainly not least, Sierra is our 10th finalist. If she wrote her autobiography, the title would be, It's Not You, It's Me, which is very funny. Her talent, I can put both of my legs over my head.
Well, that is a talent.
That is a talent.
We've learned to appreciate.
She describes herself as fun, loving, and a giver. Oh, you always get my full attention, and your wish is my command.
Whoa!
I have been and always will be an extremely sexual person, Sierra writes. She's just pushing our buttons now, right? She's just trying to get to us. 10 lovely ladies all will be competing on the 2nd at the Slide Bar in Fulton, California, when we have our pageant. But remember, folks, the responsibility falls on your shoulders. The listeners, you vote for who will be Miss Double December 2012.
Don't F this up.
We need you to vote early and often. Pick your favorite and ride her all the way to the finish line, as we say in the racing business.
Yeah, you can see the photos and their answers to the questions, and everything is up online. So give you a chance to vote. And
starting tomorrow, we meet him in person.
Starting tomorrow, we'll have him in. So go there right now and Miss Double December. It's that time of year again. Oh, it's crazy.
So much fun.
Thanks again for selling out this year's 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows. They're going to be Saturday and Sunday, December 10th and 11th at the Gibson Amphitheater. Now's the time you've been waiting for. It's your chance to get tickets free, and you pick the night. How about that? 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for contestants right now. You'll be on hold for a few minutes, and then we'll give you a chance to play. Night one includes Blink-182, Bush, Incubus, Social D, and more. Night two, of course, got your Black Keys, your Florence and the Machine, Jane's Addiction, Mumford & Sons, and more. You can get all the details at krock.com, and we'll be giving them away for the next couple of weeks here on the Kevin Abeen Show.
Right now, let's welcome to the air Andrew Siciliano, one of our favorite people to talk football with. Hi, Andrew.
Good morning, guys. How's the weekend?
Very good. Thank you.
DirecTV's Red Zone channel on Sundays, NFL Total Access Monday through Thursday at 4 on the NFL Network. So much, as always, to talk about, Andrew, and I want to start with what's going on with Jay Cutler. This is bad news for Bears fans. They finally feel like they're getting back into a groove, and now he what? Broke his thumb?
Really? I thought you guys were going to start with the thrilling Galaxy MLS Cup last night.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate your tweet.
Well, okay. His tweet was very sincere.
It was.
I thought you were sincerely congratulating them on winning the MLS Cup, weren't you, Andrew?
I was, but the sarcasm I received from you guys 2 weeks ago when I told you that they would be playing for a title, I figured that in the last 2 weeks you would have, you know, seen the error in your ways and
it was great.
The championship spirit.
I was there. It was fantastic. They were playing We Are the Champions. Everything was great. It was really fun.
Whoa, you actually went?
Yeah, of course.
Wow. Kevin goes to a lot of games, Andrew. What's wrong with you?
Okay, I did not know that. Yeah. I'm the bad guy for saying that I had worked all day and it was cold and raining and I'm not standing outside and I went home.
Yeah. it was a little chilly, but it was fun. It was a good game.
All right, well, then I'm the loser. Yeah, Cutler broke his thumb. Mm. He's the Bears quarterback. They're 7-3, and it'll be very cool. Very fun. They're screwed.
They are screwed. Do they have a decent backup? I don't even know.
No. They have a guy named Caleb Haney from Colorado State who is undrafted, who is promising as a down-the-road kind of project guy, even though he's been on the roster for a couple of years. But he is truly, in case of emergency, break glass and pray you never have to break the glass.
What happened to quarterbacks? Why are there so few that are any good? And I mean, even when those go down, you go, hey, here's a guy that was working at the McDonald's last weekend and we drafted him.
Yeah.
What's going on?
You know, we were talking about this off the air at NFL Network a couple of weeks ago about how teams should be held accountable, or teams should be reminded that they do not go out and spend the money on good backups and that it's their fault when their guy gets hurt and they have nothing behind them. But you can make the argument that there aren't 32 good starters in this league. So how can you expect there to be 32 good backups in this league? Look, the Eagles, Ralph's Eagles, are in a very unique position in that they have three guys that they think can legitimately play. Now, Mike Kafka, their third guy, has yet to truly prove he can play, but Vince Young stepped in last night. He's a former Heisman winner. That was his 31st career victory, and he led them down the field, and they beat the Giants. That was a huge win for them, even though their season's probably over. But most teams do not have a reliable backup, or at least a backup where if you had to toss him the keys, you'd say, you know what, we're going to be okay. But look at Houston. Matt Leinart from SC is getting his big break now. The Texans were off this week, but he's starting at least one, and most people think maybe the rest of the Texans games, because Matt Schaub is out, and they're just like the Bears. They're the AFC's Bears. They are 7-3. They are cruising towards the playoffs, and right now they are screwed without their quarterback.
Wow.
It is very rare to see the kind of handoff, like, you know, the legendary Joe Montana to Steve Young, or more recently, I guess, Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, where you have two Hall of Famers. You know, you got one in reserve ready to go. You're right. Most teams certainly don't have that luxury.
Well, most teams don't want to spend that money. You would argue that to get a really good veteran backup, you're going to have to spend money. But if you're going to put him behind a really good starting quarterback, you're already spending money there.
Yeah.
However, most teams, if given that opportunity, would spend the money. It's just hard to get those two guys in place. And look, there's a guy named Mark Bulger who used to play for the Rams. Remember him, Mark
Sure.
Bulger? And he came out the same year as Tom Brady. Actually, he was a sixth-round pick, just like Brady was. He played for the Rams for a while. He played for the Ravens a little bit. He is so highly sought after as a backup because he used to be a good starting quarterback. But the guy's had so many concussions, he doesn't want to play anymore. Guarantee you his phone has rang in the last couple of weeks,
Wow. But
he just doesn't want to come back.
My Arizona Cardinals continue to suck, and they brought in a quarterback, and the announcers at one point said, that's the worst pass I've ever seen in the NFL.
I missed that. Was it Skelton who started or Richard Bartell who came in later?
It was Skelton who was throwing the ball to the other team every chance he got. I think he was playing for the 49ers, if I'm not mistaken, this weekend.
It wouldn't surprise me because they're 9-1.
It was ugly.
People look that way. He got benched. I believe he.
He threw the worst pass
for like 99 yards.
Yeah, it was ugly.
Let me ask you just a couple of real quick hits with our friend Andrew Siciliano here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. I didn't see the Raiders game yesterday. Did they continue to rack up penalties? What's going on with them?
Yes. They had 12 more of them.
Yes!
And they are cruising towards the all-time record. They still won. Amazingly, they are 3-2 when incurring 10 or more penalties.
So that's
figure that out.
That's part of the success.
So hard to do. That takes such amazing effort. And afterwards, their coach, Hugh Jackson, actually, I don't know why he is saying this, but actually said that he's now suspicious of the officials. He would like to look at the tape. He's going to send some into the league because maybe suspicious is the wrong word, but he thinks there's something fishy going on now, which is, you know, the classic greater mantra, which is the world is out to get us.
Absolutely.
The world cannot be out to get them for as long as they have been racking up penalties at this rate.
All right, let's look ahead toward tonight. I know we got three games on Thanksgiving, believe it or not. A lot of teams playing on short rest, but let's talk about tonight. The Patriots, which Patriots team are we going to see tonight?
You will get the good one that is led by Tom Brady. And they will be at home, and they will beat the Chiefs. They are not going to lose this game at home to a team led by, here's the backup quarterback team again, Tyler Palko. Are you familiar with his work?
Never heard of him.
He does the Madea movies.
It's
Tyler Perry.
Right, and he's rich, and he dresses on the drag. He's a former Pitt quarterback. He's a lefty. He throws the ball much like Kevin, your John Skelton.
No.
And he's taking on Tom Brady at home. Yeah. So I don't think there will be much doubt in this one.
So good luck with that. All right. Andrew Siciliano on the Twitter, at Andrew Siciliano. You can see him on Sundays on the DirecTV Red Zone, and you should. And NFL Total Access, Monday through Thursday at 4 on the NFL Network. Who do you have on today? Anyone good, Andrew?
I have no clue. Other than the typical Monday crew, which would include Brian Billick, Warren Sapp, Kara Henderson, yours truly, I believe Charles Davis is here. Honestly, I don't know.
Hey, that's all you need.
But we do that when we do the post game after the Monday night game as well.
Thanks so much for getting up early and coming on with us on the Kevin and Bean Show, dude. We appreciate it.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
The Naked and Famous on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 20 minutes till 8 o'clock.
The Naked and the Famous are singing that red song. They're singing a nifty song. I like to sing, too. Like to sing, too.
Your choice of nights for the sold-out 22nd Annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert, Saturday, Sunday, December 10th and 11th at the Gibson. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to Mumford the Hits.
Hey, my friend, if you can guess this song I'm singing, you will win the tickets. It won't be very easy, but if you can guess it, you will win the tickets. Guess the song I'm singing if you can, and then we'll give you some more tickets.
Right, we got that part. All right.
Well, there was a lot of excitement when Mumford & Sons was announced as playing on night number 2 of the Acoustic Christmas this year, mostly because it gives us the opportunity to do this game again. So the way it works, Mumford, is the caller is going to be on the line. You're going to be singing a song by one of the bands that's playing either night. All they have to do is identify it by title and artist. Am I right?
That's right, Ben. You got it. I'm looking forward to singing this song.
All right, let's get to it.
People can guess what song I'm singing.
Okay.
What song I'm singing.
All right. Kevin, who's our first contestant?
Alex. Say hi to Alex.
Guys, how's it going?
Very well, thank you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Mumford's going to sing the hit. You have to give us the band and song title.
Sounds good.
And it's happened once again. I'll turn to a friend. Someone that understands. Sees through the master plan. Sees through the master plan.
That's Blink-182, damn it.
Yeah! It sure is!
It's happened once again.
Nicely done. Hold on.
Very, very impressive. All right. We got one in the hopper. What are we doing? A drawing at the end? Is that the plan?
It is. And I've never seen this hopper that you speak of. Andrew, hi.
Hey, what's up?
Playing Mumford the Hits. You ready?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Take my badge, but my heart remains. Loving you, baby child. Tighten up on your reins. You are running wild. Running wild. It's true. It's true. It's true.
They all lend themselves as well as others. Andrew?
Oh, man. That's a tough one.
Nope.
Is it Mumford and Sons?
They are playing. I mean, he's in the realm.
True. Right.
No, those Black Keys, tighten up.
Take my badge, but my heart remains.
All right.
Now, Mumford, you actually said tighten up in the lyric that you sang, correct?
Yes.
I thought you did. Okay. All right, who's next?
Let's go to Robert. Hi, Robert.
Hi, good morning.
You ready for your Mumford the Hits chance?
I'm ready.
Here you go.
Many months since first I saw you, many months since first we did the do. Many months since I first saw you, many months since first we did the do. And why did I try when I knew it was no? Why did I try when I knew it was no?
Zeppelin all mixed up.
Yes, it is. Nicely done. Hold on.
I would so suck at this game. My God, I'd be bad at this.
Let's go to Gabby. Hi, Gabby.
Good morning.
Ready for Mumford the Hits?
Yes.
There you go.
We all have a weakness, but some of ours are easy to identify. Look me in the eye and ask for forgiveness. We'll make a pact to never speak that word again. Yes, you are my friend. Yes, you are my friend. Yes, you are my friend. You are my friend. You are my friend.
All right.
I'm going to go with Incubus, Dig.
Oh! Correct.
We all have a weakness.
Has that done?
Well, we need time
for... people getting this? I wouldn't be able to.
I'm with you, Mumford. We only have time for one more, Kevin. Who's our final contestant?
Tiffany, who's calling. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi.
Welcome to Mumford the Hits.
Thank you.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, but she can't hit. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. She just don't know what else to do about it.
We do need an answer.
Faster than people.
Sorry, that was Jane's Addiction, Jane says.
Wow, very impressive, Mumford. All right, so here we go. We got Alex, we got Robert, we got Gabby all in the drawing to pick their night. Which night do they want to go to? Lisa, who's our winner?
Our winner is Gabby.
Woo! Gabby. Gabby, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Night one or night two?
Night one.
Night one are yours. Congratulations. Thanks for playing Mumford the Hits. Thanks, Mum.
Thank you. Now you won the contest and then you have got those tickets. You knew what songs I would sing and you would return if you got those tickets.
Comedian Brad Williams joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So get the booster seat ready to go to bring him in. And you can also go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com and see the contestants just rolled out this hour who are vying to be Miss Double December 2012. Ralph, here's an email from Kevin Bean listener Mark. Hey, I noticed there are lots of Double D contestants from the 909 this year. Mm-hmm. Can you include, please, a place on each girl's bio that gives their strip club schedule and which train tracks the strip club is located next to? I'm just trying to be thorough.
Sure, we can add that. No problem.
That's something we should have probably thought ahead of time, so you can go down and check out the girls in person. But anyway, you can go right now to krock.com or kevinandbean.com and cast your vote. Who would you like to see wear the crown for 2012?
Our theory is the reason we have so many entries this year from the 909 is because they just got the internet there. So
that
has opened things up for their being able to post their submissions. So
makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. Now Ralph joins us in studio here on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show.
It is a Monday. That means we take a look at the weekend box office to see how much money the movies that were released this weekend made. Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1 was the big winner. As expected, they were predicting between $130 and $150 million for an opening weekend. They landed right in the middle, $140 million. Making it the fifth all-time best opening weekend ever. It's hard to believe that 140 mil only gets you fifth place.
Wow. And Lisa, you were saying it wasn't good, but for a Twilight movie, it was okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's high praise indeed.
They've taught us not to expect much. I mean, but if you're a fan of the book,
they haven't
and you've
taught
been
me
seeing
that, because I don't
the movies,
go.
But yeah. You didn't read the book.
They
books.
Have taught me not to go to see their movies.
Well, it really is for little girls.
It's in the category of Sex and the City for me. There are certain movies that I'm going to see. I know they're not good. I see lots of good movies. I know these aren't going to be great, but I want to see them.
That's
anyway.
Every movie in Kevin's category. He goes, he knows every movie he's going to see is not going to be good, but he's going anyway. That's how he rolls. Second at the box office was Happy Feet 2, and its debut made $22 million. Something for the kids who are too young to look at sparkly vampires, I guess. People went to see that. Immortals, Jack and Jill, and Puss in Boots were the top five. Then Tower Heist, J. Edgar, Harold and Kumar's Christmas movie, In Time, and The Descendants rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Chris Humphries is finally speaking out about his split with porn star Kim Kardashian.
Oh, thank God. I've been dying to know.
They were like, well, Chris, we haven't heard from you. How do you feel? He went, that's it. Because he looks like Frankenstein.
He does.
No, what he did was thank the folks who have stood by him while he was doing a press conference for a watch that he is the spokesperson for.
Who gives a damn?
It's a watch designer called Sector. Sounds like a Bond villain.
Yeah.
I must go take on Sector. They are a high-end watch designer, and he is the spokesperson for the brand. He said he wanted to thank everyone for standing by him during this difficult time in my life, as he pointed to his watch. No, I'm kidding. He said he's grateful for his friends for their unwavering support.
He could have timed his marriage on that watch.
Hey, giggity. He got $150,000 for the appearance, by the way.
Wow. That's
which, all right. During the lockout, I guess he needs every little help that he can get. Once again, showbiz stars have shown how much they love the armed forces, unlike our own Lisa May.
Can we please be done with that?
Christine Cavallari and Mila Kunis both lived up to their word this weekend. They came through in their promise to attend the Marine Corps ball with the few lucky military men who had the...
Mila Kunis wasn't too busy to go?
No, Mila Kunis didn't try to pawn off this Marine to someone else. Didn't try to...
I didn't break a promise. I never promised.
Didn't try to wiggle out of her obligation to respect the men in the armed forces. She took it upon herself to go to the Marine Corps ball with Sergeant Scott Moore. Hoorah! Apparently, they both had a good time. He just returned from heavy combat in Afghanistan, by the way, just before the ball. So imagine from coming out of the S, man, and then next thing you know, you got Mila Kunis on your arm.
No kidding.
That's whiplash right there.
Lisa May, you're really good.
You must be so disappointed, Lisa, that he made it back alive.
I'm not even sure he went.
Oh,
do we know?
Wow. Do we know? That's good question. We don't know. Yeah. We take them at their word, Lisa.
And fans of Cougar Town are bummed. Looks like their season order was cut back from 22 episodes to just 15, leaving to speculation that their time may be running out over there on ABC. We'll have to wait and see. The good news is Dancing with the Stars has been scheduled to begin mid-March of next year. So as soon as we're done with this one, which isn't quite over yet, in March, boom, more Dancing with the Stars. We get it right back again.
Woo-hoo!
Everyone
hasn't
excited?
This one already been on for 9 months? We get like a two-week break and then it's back?
I feel like we're in our second season of this particular batch of dancers. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jenna Maloney from Saved and Life as a House, and she's 27 years old. Is it Jenna Malone or Jenna Maloney? I've heard it both ways.
We had her.
I think it's Malone. I don't want to misspeak.
I think it's Malone. I think it's Janelle Maloney and Jenna Malone.
It's a lot of work talking about these people. Alex James of Blur is 43 years old today. Nicolette Sheridan is 48. Brian Ritchie, bassist for Violent Femmes, turns 51. Goldie Hawn, 66. Harold Ramis, actor, director. You ever see Groundhouse Day? That's a great, great film. And Multiplicity, he also directed. I enjoyed that a lot with Michael Keaton. Of course, he's one of the Ghostbusters, too, Harold Ramis. 67 years old today. And singer Bjork, unfortunately, celebrates another birthday. She is 46 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. We are the station providing the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows for you Saturday and Sunday, December 10th and 11th. Unbelievable lineup this year with your Blink 182 and your Incubus and your Bush and your Social D and your Mumford and your Noel Gallagher and your Florence and the Machines and your Death Cab. All the details at krock.com. Don't forget, we'll be giving away tickets all week long here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Who's your little friend here, Kevin?
Brad Williams, comedian Brad Williams. You
Brad
know.
Williams!
Yeah. You know.
I'm here. And Funny Brad on Twitter, bradwilliamscomedy.com. And Mr. Williams is going to be doing four big shows this weekend, two Friday night at the Ice House in Pasadena, two Saturday night at the Ice House in Pasadena. How you been, Brad? What's going on?
I'm doing great. I've just been touring. It's nice to see Beer Mug in here, although the last time I saw him, I literally was punching him in the balls.
You were. It was some kind of $20.
Some kind of $20 bet. My brother, Kevin, paid Muggs $20 to have me punch him in the balls. Muggs took it, and he kept saying, oh, this is going to be so great to talk on the show. I'm gonna talk about you punching me in the balls on the show. Never mentioned it.
Never said it.
So, never.
Did he ever once try to up the 20? Did he ever say $25?
No.
He just said 20, okay?
He said we would do it. He said he would do it for free, and me and my brother are just like, are you sure? Don't you want to, like, get something out of this? He's like, no, man, just a midget punch me in the balls. That's a good story. Yeah, it's a good story if you actually tell it on the air.
That's the first thing I've heard about it. Why would you? Why would you get punched in the balls and not tell anyone?
I told you.
No, I don't remember that. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that at all. But yeah. was Muggs, were you thinking, Muggs, it's not going to hurt that much because how much power can Brad have? Is that what your thinking was?
I didn't think he packed a punch.
And how'd that go?
Not good.
Well, because I have like one midget hand and then I have like a Hellboy hand. Like, my right gets a lot of work. I'm not going to say how.
Sure.
But yeah, so it's like, it's swole. It's good. And that, and like a lot of guys, when they punch in the balls, it's at a down angle. They can graze. Don't get it. I'm straight. I'm just straight.
You can't
punch.
Go down. You may be up.
Yeah. If I punch your kneecap, that's a little down, but that's about it. So yeah, it was practically an uppercut on Muggs. It was
that's
fantastic.
A good point.
Hey, I remember. Was it last year at the Miss Double D pageant, Brad? That you were there, and didn't you do something like where you ran out between the girls' legs or something?
What am I thinking of? That was 2 years ago for Danielle. When Danielle won, when she won, I ran up and humped her leg.
That's right.
I went to town on that kneecap.
It was awesome.
My goodness.
You tore that kneecap down.
Did we know who Brad was at that point? I think that's when I met him.
I think that was the first time.
Yeah. You guys just saw me hanging out at Slide Bar because I literally live across the street from there. And you guys just said, well, it's a midget and he wants to hang out. That's fine.
That's good.
And I think you came up and said, you want me to hump their leg? I can't remember how it happened. I was like,
yes.
Absolutely. That needs to happen now. And to this day, Danielle and I are still friends.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're doing the pageant again in your neighborhood on December 7th. I don't know if you're in town or not, but you should come by.
I'm on the road. I'm in Florida. I'm so angry.
You're so bad is what you are.
I should just cancel that. Who needs Florida?
Who needs Florida?
That's where
when you have this.
That and I like as crazy.
Do a lot of people ask you to hump their legs? Is that a common request?
You know what? Everyone just wants a story. That's it. Like no matter what I do, it's a story to someone.
Yeah, I guess so.
So it's just like they want me to hump legs. They want me to obviously punch balls.
Because I remember when I saw Bridget the Midget. I saw her in Vegas with her band, and she humped my leg. And I was like, is this just something that is normal?
Oh, all right. You have a do you have a Bridget story?
Just that.
I've got a Bridget. Well, okay.
So know that apparently
it's not quite a Bridget story, but I have to tell this. Okay. I was in Denver, Colorado, and. They had the strip club there, and these fans came up to me like, dude, there's a midget stripper, and you're here this weekend. This is awesome. Let's go see the midget stripper. And I'm like, hell yeah, I want to go see a midget stripper. And so we walk in to go see the midget stripper, and she's climbing the pole, like, with all four. Like, it's really weird. She's like, matrixing up the pole.
2 feet up.
it's like 3 feet, so this is, like, life and death situation for her.
She could fall to her death.
And she gets up there, and everyone's cheering, and they look back at me, my face is just like stone face, and they're like, hey dude, what's wrong? It's a strip club. And I'm like, I used to babysit her.
Oh no, are you serious?
Yes. Her name is Lil Sassy Cassie.
I used to babysit her,
and she sees me, recognizes me, and runs up like, Brad, oh my God. I didn't, my first words were not hi, we're not hey, we're not like what's up. The first words out of my mouth were, was it anything I did?
Oh, my God.
Did I, like, not let you watch your favorite TV program?
Are you
like,
here because I put you here?
Exactly. I'll show him.
So this was probably the first time you ever went to a strip club where you wanted the girl to put her clothes back on.
Absolutely.
Because you felt, like, uncomfortable.
Oh,
this is a kid,
so,
right?
So bad.
But then you took another shot and went with a dance.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. then I got the lap dance and it was fine. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I had never gotten a lap dance from another midget before. It like fit. It was great.
Well, I guess
it
that
was
makes
great.
Sense, but
they didn't squish me. It was like
beaten up at a strip club.
Oh, I've got those stories too.
Yeah, I bet Brad knows every good strip club across these United States. Is my guess.
Pretty much.
That he does as well.
You name a city, I'm there. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to avoid places with way too much alcohol right now because I'm finding out
places with way too much alcohol.
Yeah, like
medium alcohol,
that's good. But like, here's the thing is, and I found this out last night because I was at the Galaxy game, is when people get really drunk and they're looking for something to throw, they just look down and they go, sure. Hey.
There's a bottle.
Yeah.
That'll like, hurt.
Yeah, that guy threw a bottle. I don't have anything. Here's a midget. Like, just, I try to avoid the riots at all costs.
But you were at the Galaxy game.
I was.
This is so funny. I've met like three different people that were at the Galaxy game, and I didn't know any of them were fans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a guy at the game last night. I was like, I didn't know you were a fan. It's like people are, because...
They don't talk about
They get
it.
Beat up.
Yeah, we don't talk about a soccer fandom. About
really? Yeah. If you're a soccer fan in Los Angeles, you pretty much have to keep it quiet.
That's so right. Sad.
It's kind of weird, yeah.
I mean, I had such a good time. And the reason why I had a good time is because there was a guy sitting behind me who had the greatest Scottish accent ever. And he was announcing the entire game. But not just announcing it. Like, he was putting emphasis on, like, this
Didn't
was the
that
greatest
make you
thing.
Punch him, though?
No, because he was saying things like, oh, Keane puts it in the corner. That ball was like a baby's breath. It was so sensitive. Oh, look at that pass from Donovan. It was as sweet as a unicorn queef. He just kept, I'm like, just keep talking. Follow me around. Can you please follow me?
Was like, it this guy?
I like it. Heroic stuff. Braver than a matador in high heels in a pink tutu.
Was it that guy?
It was that. Like, it must have been. Or, like, his brother or something. I want that guy to follow me everywhere. Like, can you imagine, like, when I go just, like, grocery shopping, like, oh, and then Brad walks with such grace on top of the cart while he's got to get his box of Kix cereal. That is so brilliant. You know, Kix has iron. Hopefully it will make him glow.
What if it's too high for you? Then what would he say?
Oh, he's leeching up there. He's leeching up like just a kid leeching for his dream. That's his passion. He wants to see. He will not be denied. He asks for assistance from the store clerk. Totally unselfishly. Oh, this is great. It's totally great. It's like Nelson Mandela is not as generous as this store manager right here. Like, oh, like I just want him to go anywhere. I want him to come. Like, it was basically
just to play by play for your life.
Oh, it was so good. It was like, I want him there. I want black people with me at the movies because that's awesome.
Sure. You need something to make everything better.
Yeah.
Just make it a step better.
Oh, my God. It was so much fun.
The hilarious Brad Williams is here on the Kevin DeBean Show. You can see him on stage at the Ice House in Pasadena. Two big shows on Friday night, 8:30, 10:30. Two shows on Saturday at 8 and 10. You can get those tickets at icehousecomedy.com. Check out Brad's website at bradwilliamscomedy.com. We'll take a break. Come back more with our guests after this on the Kevin. Harvey Levin from TMZ. .com joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Stick around for that. Right now, comedian Brad Williams in studio on Twitter at FunnyBrad, website bradwilliamscomedy.com. You can see him at the Ice House in Pasadena Friday and Saturday night, two shows each. Icehousecomedy.com is the website.
And you've made a pledge that nothing is going to be repeated on any of those nights, right? You've made that pledge.
Sure.
Is that correct? You'll give money back.
Absolutely.
That's what I heard you say.
Yeah.
All right.
Be sure when you talk to Harvey to tell him to stop calling me Wee Man.
Wee Man, yeah.
Is that happening? Is he doing
He's
that?
He's done it twice.
Dude,
where...
I got to tell you, I've hung out with Brad, and Brad's unfortunate role in life is not that he's a midget. He does look exactly like Wee Man. So every single person is like, take a picture with me. I want a picture. Hey, guys. And then they start yelling, Wee Man's over here, everybody.
And you're like, no. Oh, here's one that happened not too long ago. I was at a club, and some woman said, oh, my God. Wee Man, and I just kind of ignored her and kept walking because that's not my name.
Right.
And then she kind of threatened me. She's like, fine, I'm not going to go to Chronic Tacos anymore. And I look back at her like, I don't care.
It's not my place.
It's not my place. So, but that's the only upside of that is that when people call me Wee Man, is I can act like a total a-hole.
And then they don't think it's you.
Exactly. Oh. I'm free and easy, which, by the way, I went to Chronic Tacos. Now, Jason's a friend of mine. Love the guy,
Jason is Wee Man. Go ahead.
When I go to Chronic Tacos, it's great because they all think I'm the boss.
They serve you for free. Yeah.
But all right, one of their tacos, I won't say which one, but kind of gave me a little fast exiting.
Sure,
I could say diarrhea, right?
Sure.
Right. Oh yeah, and so I had to run to the bathroom, but you guys, you got to remember when I'm in a public bathroom, my legs dangle. They don't go below the stall.
Yeah.
So no one
can tell you're in
no
there?
No one knows I'm in there. Which, by the way, phantom farts are the best because people just walk in. They don't know I'm in there. All of a sudden, what the hell was that?
Nice. Like, it
was scary.
Look around.
So I'm in there, and this guy walks in, and he does his thing. But as he walks out, for some reason, just turns off the light. So I'm in the dark with my pants down. Not the first time I've said that. And I'm trying to figure out what am I going to do. So I pull out my cell phone because that's got the light on it. Mm-hmm. And I start going towards the door and I flick on the light. But I can't pull up my pants yet for obvious reasons. So then I flick on the light. Just as I do, another dude walks into the bathroom and just sees naked midget right in front of him.
That looks like...
That looks like Wee Man. And right. Life does not prepare you for naked midget. Like, I don't care what you're going through. You see that, you freeze. But I'm a comic, so I just say the first thing that pops into my head. I'm like, hey, are you my 330? Nice. And this guy ran out. He's like, dude, Chronic Tacos is amazing. You go to the bathroom and Wee Man's there to give you happy endings. That's commitment by an owner. So
that's their new campaign. That's fantastic.
Right?
He should be paying you to be Wee Man. That's great.
Absolutely. But I think that was just one taco. Don't think they're all like that. No. Please go to
I'm
Cron
sure.
Tacos.
It's just
great.
Something going on. Yeah. Hey, before we, unfortunately, we're running desperately late on time, Brad, but you were giving Lisa a hard time as well. You should, yeah. As we all are, about how much she hates the troops.
She hates America.
Yeah. I mean, she does everything but poop on the American flag because she wouldn't go to that Marine.
She did that.
She wouldn't go to the Marine Corps ball with that soldier, and of course, right. Everybody else. And I guess they don't like to be called soldiers, but that Marine. And I guess everybody right. else makes time to go. Yeah. You actually have done a USO tour, which I did not realize until today.
Yeah, I went to the Middle East, Afghanistan, Kyrgyzstan, Oman, Bahrain, Iraq, Kuwait, wow. Qatar, wow. And
they were parading you around.
They were. And
Wee Man, everybody. Wee Man.
Here's what I love about soldiers is they know the value of life, so they don't hold anything back. They don't they don't have any reservations at all. I got off the plane in Afghanistan, and a group of them were just waiting by the airplane, and I get off. They're like, oh, Brad Williams, we're so happy you're here. And I was like, all right, because, you want to hear some good jokes, right? They're like, nah, you're a midget. We just want to do cool stuff with you. And they did. I got to fly in a Black Hawk helicopter. It was so awesome. Well, except for the fact that they put me in a helmet and a vest. And not a lot of midgets in the military.
Do they make them the right size?
Well, dude, on me, this was a bulletproof muumuu. It's down below my knees, but it's below my knees, so I can't bend my legs. So they're saying, run to the helicopter. I can't run in this thing. I'm looking like a penguin.
Somebody's gonna have to carry me.
Yeah. So I get on the helicopter, and they tell me, all right, now we don't anticipate anything to happen, but something might happen. And what sometimes does happen is these helicopters get fired upon by RPGs, rocket propelled grenades. You might know it as a bazooka. If this is to happen, you'll hear the words "fire in the hole." Our machine gunner will return fire. I'll do some evasive maneuvers. You'll be fine.
Wow.
I'm sorry, you lost me after bazooka. I'm not paying attention anymore. But that's the speech I got.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, so we start flying and everything's good. I'm a little nervous, but I can't say anything because I'm there with 18, 19-year-old kids who are just badasses. I can't be the one guy
I don't think this is a good idea.
Yeah, like, way tougher than you are.
Yeah, so then we start flying and then we get outside the base. Now, what they didn't tell me is that when you get outside of the base, you have to test fire the machine gun. They didn't tell me that part.
So you didn't know why they were
going to... No! I just got the speech from General Patton, and then we get outside the base, I hear, fire in the hole! Da-da-da-da-da-da-da! I think I had my first period right there.
Helicopter.
It was crazy.
So it was just a test.
Yeah.
Oh.
They knew.
Of course they knew.
But isn't that amazing, Brad, that becomes the new normal and they just accept it and they get used to that and that's just their life and that's just the way it is and it doesn't faze them.
They do, and they look at any opportunity to have fun. I was in Bahrain and a Middle Eastern dude saw me and just started freaking out. I don't know what they do with their midgets over there, but obviously they don't let them walk around in public.
Right.
Because he was just freaking out. What is this? And then he goes, you're a demon. You are a demon.
Awesome.
And he starts calling me demon. And I've been called a lot of stuff in my day. Demon.
That's
never on the
strong.
Damn list. I don't know what to do. And then the Marine who's with me just kind of looks down at me and goes, aren't you going to chase him?
What does that mean?
Yes, I am going to chase him. So I start running after him in the middle of Bahrain Airport, just like...
definitely doing that. He's running away. I'm running after him. The soldiers, the two Marines are with me, start. They take out their weapons. They start running after me and yelling out, "He's loose! He's loose!" It was the best! I'm like, oh, you guys are fun!
All right, we have to leave it there for this time, Brad. I'm so sad that you're out of town and can't come to Miss Double D in a couple of weeks. It would have been so fun to have you there.
I'll be there in spirit. Can I plug one more thing?
Yes, of course, yes.
Yes, I'll be at the Ice House this Friday and Saturday, but then a week from tomorrow, I'll actually be at the Muckenthaler in Fullerton helping out with your charity, Kevin. I'll be at the Friends and Helpers, where you can bring, you can adopt families, I think. You can bring gifts. And
you're going to be at the drop-off point in Fullerton.
I'll be at the drop-off point. Now, don't drop, like don't think like that the families are going to get a midget. Don't think they're going to get that. Just like, no, I'm
just
there to support.
Prepare yourself to see Brad. You'll know his car. It's a Mini, and it's going to be taking up two parking spaces.
How dare you, sir?
And the driveway. I don't know how he does it, but
apparently I'm a bad driver. And yes, I drive a Mini Cooper, because if I had a truck, it would take me 9 years to get into it. So screw you guys.
That's a part of the trick. But thank you. And thank you, Mom, for helping with that.
Hey,
as well.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, man. Good luck.
Looking ahead toward tomorrow's Kevin Amico, actor Jason Segel will be here talking about his Muppet movie. Also, Petros Papadakis will be in talking about the USC-UCLA rivalry. And we'll meet the first of our two Miss Double December contestants vying for the crown for 2012. You can go to KROQ.com and see and vote for your favorite right now. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Oh, always a pleasure to talk to you on Mondays. I know something I wanted to ask you that I have not seen much about on the site or heard much about in the media, and that's with this Ashton and Demi breakup. What's the financial situation? Is anybody suing somebody for a lot of money, or are they just going to walk away with what they have, or what's the deal there?
Well, we don't know yet if there is a prenup or what. I mean, if there's not a prenup, they've been married for 6 years, and they'd split earnings 50-50. If they had a prenup, then obviously that would control. But remember, she has not filed for divorce. She's just announced that she's going to end the marriage. So that hasn't been filed. We haven't seen any documents, so we just don't know yet.
Now, the story that you have on your site near the top is Ashton Kutcher's effort to win her back. I guess this was a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, less than 2 weeks before she announced that she was leaving him. He bought a very expensive Lexus, and we are told he bought it for her birthday. You know, and was this a last-ditch effort to save the marriage? Well, it was clearly on the rocks. So he gets her this $120,000 Lexus from a fancy car company. She announces less than 2 weeks later that she's ending the marriage. We do not know if she got the car or kept the car, but we know he got the car.
Can you imagine him going, "Can I have the car back then?"
Well, I know.
I mean, what do you do, right?
I know.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember, it just kind of reminds me, do you remember when Tony Romo got that boat from Jessica Simpson and then she dumped him?
Yeah.
And then he dumped her, like, right afterwards and never got her a Christmas present?
Yeah. Yeah, that seems to happen. So, anyway, you don't know if she kept the car?
Do not know if she kept the car. Do not know.
They both have so much money.
It almost seems
stupid to buy her a car. I mean, she could totally do that herself.
Did you guys go to the car show, by the way?
No. Did you?
It was great.
I heard a lot about it.
It was really good. It's so interesting.
Were there cars there?
There were cars. But you know what? Can I just say, I don't dislike kids at all, but it's like a lot of parents think their kids are just so cute that they can do anything, and these kids like run around and they get in the driver's seat and nobody can go near them, and they're all like mugging and everything else, and it was just, I don't know, am I like, do I sound anti-kid?
No, it's you're not anti-kid, you're anti-bad parent.
Yeah.
And bad parents let their kids do anything, and it drives everyone else crazy.
And I just think it's so cute because it's their
kid. Yes, yeah. Listen, we know you love your kid, but everyone else doesn't.
Right.
So keep them out of our way. I think that's good enough to say.
Okay, then I say it.
That's fine. Okay. But you're taking that from me, Harvey, so.
Well, no, I'll steal it.
I don't know that you want to. All right, what else are you talking about on your site?
Well, I'm so shocked at this. So we get Francis Ford Coppola out. Okay, this is, to me, the most shocking thing of the weekend. We get him out, and he's at some event for a relative. And we start asking him about The Godfather. He says that they should have stopped at part one, never done part two or part three.
I thought part two was considered better.
The best.
It was the best one.
De Niro.
What?
Pacino. And he thinks it was a mistake.
To this day, he thinks that was a mistake.
He said it over the weekend. I couldn't.
Wow.
I know.
I think everyone agrees on three. Although I like it more than most people.
Yeah, but, no, no. I mean, everybody says three shouldn't have been made.
Right.
But two is like the best sequel ever made.
Yeah, that one in Star Wars, I think, are considered the best sequels ever made.
But in, you know, a lot of people think that part two of The Godfather was better than part one.
I agree.
And it's like he thinks it was a mistake. And I don't know whether it's because he is kind of defined by, you know, The Godfather, and he's done so many great movies like The Conversation and all this stuff, and maybe he wishes he just would have stopped it. I don't know, but I couldn't believe he said this. So I find that pretty shocking.
So we just say, okay, Francis Ford Coppola, you go back to where you're from, and thank you for speaking to us today.
Yeah.
We're happy to have that second movie. That second movie is fantastic.
No kidding. So the other thing that happened over the weekend, it's almost a little like Ferris Bueller. So Kathy and Rick Hilton, you know, they go to Las Vegas to celebrate Baron Hilton's birthday. So they're all up there celebrating. So 17-year-old Conrad Hilton's left to his own devices in L.A. So he goes to the Key Club, and then he goes driving into
Uh-oh.
The Brentwood area. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And he's speeding like a mother. I mean, he is going so fast, and we know this because we got the surveillance video, and you see him just roaring down the street in Brentwood and smashes into this parked car, which then ricochets and hits another car, and so he leaves the scene. And then somehow comes back, gives his information to the driver, leaves, though, before the cops come. And the cops, he's not going to get ticketed. He doesn't get arrested. No, he never took an alcohol test. He was at the Key Club before he hit the car. But he had quite the wild night.
So by leaving and coming back later, A, he got away with it, and B, they didn't check his alcohol level?
No, because what happened was, see, when you leave, it's a crime.
I mean, right.
It's technically hit and run. And just because you come back doesn't necessarily make it right, although they generally don't prosecute if you come back. So he came back, but then he had left. He exchanged his information quickly, left before the cops got there.
Oh,
I see. Once he leaves, there's no way they can do a blood alcohol
test.
They don't know what he did in between.
Because right. Maybe he came back. He drank after he got in the accident. Right?
Who knows? But he had left, so he's getting away with this. He's scot-free, no ticket, nothing.
Harvey, this is troubling me that you have actual video of the accident happening.
The surveillance video.
Come on! What's happening?
Well, it's just somebody, you know, gave us the surveillance video.
That's crazy.
I know, but, and you see it, too. I mean, he is really speeding down this street.
Yeah, he's going 10 times as fast as he should, that's for sure.
So it was a very Ferris Bueller-like weekend.
Wow. All right, Harvey, thank you. Always love to have you on Mondays.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com.
From pumpkin pie to amazing prices on big, juicy turkeys. Fonz, ingredients for life. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. So world famous K-Rock at 8:53.
Speaking of big, juicy turkeys, wait till you hear Beer Mug's interview with Dodgers center fielder Matt Kemp. We've got that for you coming up after the top of the hour. Is he the last guy you'd want to send in there for a hard-hitting interview with Matt Kemp? I say yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why that's our choice every time.
I'm having a hard time connecting the big, juicy turkey, however.
I'm just saying that's how bad this interview is. It's a big turkey.
It's a turkey
is also a term that some people use for things that are not successful.
I got it. Jive turkey.
We are down with the thought behind the word.
Yes.
Let's talk about
turn my mic back off.
Let's talk show biz news. It's Monday morning. It means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1. $140 million made it number one this weekend.
$140.
That's all.
Just $140
million. Just $140. You think they'll keep making movies past the books? I think they'll start writing new scripts and
wouldn't you?
No.
If you had
this franchise, and this is just this printing press for cash.
Well, I mean, they would certainly need Stephanie Meyer's permission to use her characters, right?
Yeah. I'm sure if they write the request for the permission on a big fat check, she'll sign off.
Maybe she can just write the movie and not have to worry about a book. Or
yeah,
who knows?
Right. Maybe she could just do novelizations of the scripts as they keep going. I can't imagine they're going to let this die after another one.
I don't know. Harry Potter had to go.
Yeah, but Harry Potter was a real story with actual words and characters. I mean, it was legitimate.
There were words.
It's three
characters.
Elements. They just take, give me a wolf and a vampire and a chick, and we'll just throw them in a blender, and then we'll make a movie. Yeah, but they weren't good. All right. Happy Feet 2. $22 million made it number two at the box office this week. Immortals, Jack and Jill, Puss in Boots. Tower Heist. Hey, there was one Godfather book, by the way. You want to talk about books?
That's interesting.
And they made three movies out of it.
They made three movies out of that one.
That's true.
All right, back to my story. Puss in Boots, 5th. Tower High, 6th. J. Edgar was 7th. Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas came in at number 8. In Time and The Descendants, top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Vanessa Minnillo is Minnillo no longer. Officially changed her name this week to Vanessa Lachey. Sounds like a stripper. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Vanessa Lachey. Of course, her husband is Nick Lachey. Now she's taking his name officially, which I never understood professionally.
I didn't either.
Because you're working so hard to establish yourself in the industry, and Vanessa Minnillo carries a certain cachet with it when it comes to entertainment journalism and that kind of stuff. And now people are going to say, who?
Yeah.
It's like Odette Yustman. We love her.
We do
adore her.
She's on House.
She's on House. She's great this season on House, by the way. But now she's Odette Annabelle, or Annabelle, or Annabelle Belboo. And it's just, it always catches me by surprise. I always have to say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that. Oh, that's the one. Just seems like it's, you know, professionally and personally, you can keep that stuff separate.
And it also seems like after what happened with Rebecca Romaine Stamos, maybe there's some reasons not to change your name when you get married.
That's true. We talked last week about a potential Dawson's Creek reunion.
Yes.
And I mentioned that Michelle Williams said she'd absolutely be in.
Right.
Right.
Someone sent me an article, which I thought was interesting, where it reminded us all that her character died in Dawson's Creek.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's why she's always in, because she knows they won't ask her.
Because is that a dumb question? Is she mocking whoever asked her?
I don't know, but she certainly come back as a ghost or something, I guess, but that doesn't really strike me as very Dawson Creeky.
No, it doesn't.
It's not very creaky.
Katie Holmes said she'd be in. They asked the rest of the cast this week. Joshua Jackson said absolutely he'd be in, but he would like top billing now. He kids.
Sure.
The only person who's not sure, James Vanderbeek.
The one who needs the job.
What? How's he not sure? How is he not sure? I saw, he's checked me out at Albertsons this week, and I was getting my food order for Thanksgiving. And I said to him, I said, James, how can you not be in? He's like, I'm an artist. So he's not sure if he wants to return to the creek, but...
I do not want your life.
I don't want your life. Bad Southern accent.
I got a great porn star, Kim Kardashian story, but you're just going to have to wait 45 minutes. I'll tell you about it. Apparently, she's been involved in like a dozen shady, shady deals. She may not just be a whore.
Really?
She may be a criminal. Fascinating story. I'll break it down for you in about 45 minutes. Today's celebrity birthdays. Director, writer, actor... Harold Ramis, one of my favorites, 67 years old today. Actress Goldie Hawn turned 66. Brian Ritchie, bassist for Violent Femmes, is 51. Nicolette Sheridan, 48 years old. Bjork is 46. Alex James of Blur, he's the bass player for that band. It's good to be a bassist.
Sure.
He's 43 years old. And Jenna Malone, celebrated actress, is 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Dear Kevin and Bean, the email begins from John. Just looked at the new Miss Double D contestants. Mm-hmm. And then that's the subject line. And then the entire email is insert masturbation joke here. So I have to make up my own joke?
Yeah.
Really?
Here's your joke.
Apparently so.
Is that it?
That's the whole joke?
Yep.
We posted the contestants who are vying to be Miss Double December 2012 up at KROQ.com or KevinandBean.com today. So if you needed 20 great reasons to visit our website, we've got them for you there. And you cast your vote and you decide who is Miss Double D. I think tomorrow, Ralph, we start meeting the girls. I think they start coming in for their interview and their talent portion of the competition.
Yeah, it turns out these girls talk and everything.
What?
Yeah, there's some of those kind of girls.
How about that?
Yeah, things to say.
We're filming the visits, though, right? We'll put that up at the website as well. Okay, good deal. Rob is here for a final look at the Showbiz Beat now on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
And by filming the visits, you mean, you know what I'm saying? Film the visits.
That sort of does work for everything.
Film the visit. You're filming the visit.
Right.
Bringing out your camera and filming it, are you? Filming. Is that what you're going to do? Say no more. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
Yes.
Okay. I mentioned in the last hour, let's get through the top 10 movies of the box office. First, we do it every Monday morning. Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1, $140 million. Nice to meet you. Happy Feet 2, and its debut made $22 million. Made a good enough impression to be number 2 on the top 10 box office list. Immortals, 3rd, Jack and Jill, and then Puss in Boots round up the top 5. Tower Heist, J. Edgar, Harold and Kumar's 3D Christmas movie is number 8 in Time, and then The Descendants, the new George Clooney movie in limited release, made $1.2 million, but that was good enough to make it number 10 on the list. Last hour, I talked about the fact that Kim Kardashian is effing shaky.
Who?
Porn star Kim Kardashian.
has been investigated by the fashion industry website Fashionista.com. They did some digging, and they found out that Kim, throughout her entire professional career, has been involved in at least 9 shady business deals.
Wow.
Is this normal or abnormal?
It's abnormal.
I mean, I don't know that world at all.
I don't either, but okay. According to the story, it is abnormal, especially for a celebrity to lend their name to a product or company without vetting it and doing some serious research so as not to blemish their reputation. But seriously, how can you blemish the reputation of a woman who became a star banging Ray J and then appearing on reality television? But they did some research. They say she has a serious bad habit of lending her name to scams and counterfeits. Which I thought was interesting. Here's a quick rundown. Remember Skechers Shape Ups? Those were the shoes you put on, and they just would work out. You'd get toned just wearing shoes.
I was amazed by the celebrities that they got. Joe Montana, people like that.
Hugely successful, too, for a while. Didn't they sell millions, and then they had to stop running the ads because it turned out it wasn't true,
right? The problem was the Federal Trade Commission stepped in, and they said, you know those shoes that shape you up?
Right.
Those shape ups?
Just by wearing them?
Yeah. That's a lie.
No kidding.
Yeah. The brand's being brought up on false advertising charges for claiming their toning shoes have physical benefits. Kim starred in that ad campaign.
Hmm.
A Tria hair removal company. Kim used to go on her commercials and say, I use Tria all over my entire body. Which makes you think, oof.
How far is she working with?
How much hair does she have?
You'll never need razors or shaving cream again, she said in the commercials. But it turns out that FDA said that that product is unsafe to use on face, head, ears, and neck and other sensitive areas.
The only place you grow hair, basically.
Yes, exactly. the Kardashian credit card. Remember that, don't you?
All right.
They came under fire after their prepaid cards had hidden fees and target marketing to children.
And let's not forget, it was credit card with all K's, too, by the way. So it deserved to be pulled off the market for that alone.
Quick Trim, Kim endorses that diet pill, which is not only not FDA approved, but it's also dangerous to your health. It's been linked to high blood pressure, heart arrhythmia, dehydration, diarrhea, and constipation.
She knows how to pick them.
Idle White Teeth Whitening System. Company set up spam websites to manipulate Google search results, and there is no evidence that their product actually, works. There's that.
Yeah, you're getting picky now. Does it work?
But it goes on and on and on and on. She's got FTC guidelines violations for sponsored tweets that she didn't disclose. I mean, it's just one shady deal after another with this broad. So I say guilty.
Of them all?
Yes.
All right.
Her penalty? She's got to let her hair grow. Anywhere it grows on her body, you got to let it grow.
There you go.
Let's see in the cover of Shape magazine now. Yeah, blueberry bush.
I say women's prison and make a new movie. That's what I say.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor-director Harold Ramis is 67 years old today.
He's the best, right?
He really is. He's such a talented guy. I used to watch him on an old TV show called SCTV, which was like Saturday Night Live, but it was out of Canada, Second City Television.
Mm-hmm.
And Chicago and Toronto is where they had their home. And just Martin Short came out of that group, and Andrea Martin. Who's the girl who works with Christopher Guest in all his movies? Catherine O'Hara. Oh, yeah. She was in a John Candy. I mean, just an amazing cast of sketch comedians. They were so funny on that show.
And then he went on to, if I remember, he co-wrote Stripes and a bunch of those movies back then. I mean, the guy's just a genius.
67 years old. Goldie Hawn is 66. Bassist Brian Ritchie of the Violent Femmes is 51. Nicolette Sheridan of Desperate Housewives fame is 48. Alex James of Blur is 43 years old. Jenna Malone celebrates her 27th birthday. And Bjork! Oh, Bjork!
No, Bjork.
Bjork celebrates her birthday. Here's Bjork singing the classic Happy Birthday song.
That sounds like a joke, but this is real.
That's a real song. That happens.
This is a drummer on meth.
They finished the song and said, yes.
Put that on the disc.
Bad idea.
That may be our single, they said to themselves. And they're done recording.
It might be the one.
Bjork.
This might be it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, you're afraid of the number 666.
What?
We're going to take your calls. Petros Papadakis will be here talking about USC UCLA. We have Jason Segel on the program tomorrow, talking about the Muppet movie. I believe he plays Miss Piggy, if I'm not mistaken. We also have tickets for the 20
Segel.
No,
Jason Segel's going to be here.
Segel, that's Segel.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I didn't even get it. 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas tickets tomorrow morning, and we'll have a couple of Miss Double Decembers in. A little interview.
That means four boobs.
Right.
Sweet.
That's all tomorrow morning.
Right?
All new Kevin and me.